For some of us who are sitting here this morning, we are well aware of how fragile our lives are. We know firsthand how fragile we are because someone we know, someone that we love, someone that we care about has recently died. And we are still grieving their death. Others of us know and love someone who is dealing with a life-threatening disease right now. I was reminded of this when I went to visit Bob in the hospital just a few days ago. Bob is a longtime supporter of Monroe Community Church, and he's been in the hospital for over 40 days now. Had open heart surgery to repair a valve that was giving him trouble. That went fine, but then caught pneumonia. And has recently been suffering from fluid around the lungs. Fluid is building up, making it hard for him to breathe. And as I'm looking at him, looking pretty frail in the hospital, I'm reminded of just how fragile we are. It's a pastor friend of ours whose wife is dealing with breast cancer. Recently had a mastectomy and is now undergoing chemo. Got four kids at home. Right? How fragile we are. How fragile we are. Myrna, who's out running the marathon right now, has a friend whose husband is dealing with four-stage lymphoma. How fragile we are. How fragile we are. Stella's not here right now, but she too is dealing with cancer. How fragile we are. We know this firsthand because there's people in our midst who have been told, right, by doctors and nurses how fragile they are. We don't have to be told to be reminded. My sister-in-law was driving on the S-curve this past week, and the truck behind her decided not to stop when the traffic in front of her did. Gets rear-ended. Everything was fine, but got her two little ones in the back. $4,000 worth of damage to the Jeep. How fragile we are. How fragile we are. But we don't need these things, I guess, to remind us if we're honest with ourselves. Because deep down, if we're honest, we know that death can come at any moment. We don't know when it's going to be our turn, when our time is up. Ben Franklin once said, "But in this world, nothing can be said to be certain except what?" There you go, right? Death and taxes. We know we're going to have to pay taxes. And we know that if we're alive, we're going to die at some point unless Jesus comes again before that happens. How fragile we are. But we live in a culture that does everything possible to defy death and to help us avoid dealing with it, talking about it. In spite of it happening around us every day, I get the press, and it never fails. There's always an obituary section, and it's full, right? Every day. There's the birth announcements every day, but then there's also the obituaries. And in spite of its certainty, we don't like to think about it or reflect about it, be reminded about it, or have to deal with it. And why is this? One reason, I suspect, is that for most of us, we're scared. Or we're afraid. I know the things that I'm usually scared of or afraid of, I don't like to talk about. I don't like to deal with. I kind of just push them off to the side. Death reminds us that something's wrong. Something needs to be fixed. We were created to live. When we see people die, we're reminded that it's not the way it's supposed to be. So we're scared about it. Another reason that we may be scared about death is that we're unsure about it, or we don't know what will happen when we die. Death, like anything else, becomes a scary thing when we are uninformed or unsure about it. Right? The basement, when it's dark, what's down there? I'm not sure, right? So I'm not gonna go down there. A different neighborhood. It's dark outside. What's going on there? I don't know. So I'm not gonna go over there. Death. What happens after that? I don't know. I'm unsure. I don't want to go there. When we're unsure about something, what do? We wonder. We guess. We make assumptions, some of which may be true, but some of which may also be false. Then we begin to worry about our assumptions. And then we build this scenario that's not based on truth, but instead on our wonderings and our fears and our assumptions. This is where the devil likes to move in. Because he can get us worried, if he can get us afraid, he's got a platform on which to stand and start pumping us full of all kinds of stuff. And insert his lies into the mix. Lies which can make us scared, which can make us afraid, and cause us to lose hope. Therefore, when Paul talks about about death in his letter to the church in Thessalonica, he begins here. He begins by addressing the ignorance or this uncertainty issue. So if you have a Bible, would you open it with me? And if you need one, there's a stack of them right back by that column. If you're using one of those black Bibles on the table, it's page 836. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning at verse 13. I'm talking about death. Paul begins by addressing the ignorance issue. He says this in verse 13. He says, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep." And that's those who have died. He says, "or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope." When it comes to death, Paul says, we do not want you to be unsure. We do not want you to be uninformed. We don't want you to be unclear about what happens. Why? Because Paul knows that if you and I are ignorant, if we are unsure, if we are uninformed, or if we are unclear about death, it is going to be very, 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 very easy for us to lose hope. Death has this thing about it, a power that can crush our spirits like nothing else can. It's an easy hope destroyer. So Paul says, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have died or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. And then he goes on and he tells us some truth. He says, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so, we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep, those who have died in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so, we will be with the Lord forever. The church that Paul is writing to is worried about the people that they knew and loved. People who were dying around them. And what was happening to them when they died. They were wondering things like, well, is death the end? Is that it? Is it just you die and then no more? They were worried, can death separate us from our relationship with God? Are we all of a sudden then left on our own? And then we have this promise of Jesus coming back to restore and renew and make things all right again. If they die, are they gonna miss out on that? And the answer that Paul gives them is no. as followers of Jesus Christ who believe that Jesus died and rose again, Paul says we believe something else about death. He says, first, on account of the resurrection of the dead, we believe that our death is not the end, but rather a transition into eternal life. And I want you to listen to some truth from other places in God's Word regarding the promise of eternal life. The first is 1 John 5, 11 and 12. Here John says, "And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." And then John 3, verses 13 through 18. Here John says, "No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall what? Shall not perish, but have what instead? Eternal life." That's right. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Death is not the end, Paul says. Death is a transition into eternal life with Jesus. He says another thing happens. Because of Jesus' resurrection, Paul also reminds us that our death does not separate us. We will be with the Lord forever, Paul says. Listen to some other truth from God's Word regarding the promises of our being with God forever. The first comes from Romans chapter 8. Here Paul says this, "No, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What does he say will be able to separate us from the love? Nothing. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. And then in Romans 14, Paul goes on and he says, "If we live, we live to the Lord. But if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord." Death does not separate us from God. No, the truth is that on account of what Jesus has done, we're going to be with God forever. The Apostle Paul writes this message to this church in Thessalonica, for what reason? Look at with me at verse 18. I stopped before the end, and you're probably wondering, why did he stop? What does Paul say in verse 18? He says, "Therefore, we encourage one another with these words." We encourage one another with these words. He says, encourage one another. Stand on this promise of what? Of eternal life. He says, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Paul wants to encourage his readers, his listeners, with this message. He wants to encourage you and I personally. But he also wants us to encourage one another with these words. He says, don't let death or the fear of death discourage you or frighten you or cause you to fall into a pit of despair. says, do not be afraid like the rest. He says, do not grieve as the rest, those who have no hope. Rather, Paul says, be encouraged. Be encouraged by the hope that is ours through Jesus' resurrection. Through His resurrection, He has conquered death, and He has given us the gift of eternal life. Paul says, he doesn't say don't grieve. He says, but grieve as those with hope, knowing that your relationship with Him is secure no matter what, and knowing that death is not the end. Encourage one another, he says. Encourage one another. Why? Because we know how fragile we are. Just how fragile we are. How many of you know someone or are close to someone who is dying? Can you put a face? Can you put a face with this? If you're honest, we'll all put our hands up. So when we look around, we're all dying. Oftentimes when I'm in the hospital, and I'm talking with people who are dealing with the issues of death because it's on the forefront of their mind. Their church says so, right? The doctors are telling them, right? They're looking at me. I'm saying, I just say to them, me too. They're like, oh no, you're so young. Right? You're only 35. We're all dying. We're all fragile. How fragile we are. Paul says, encourage someone. Encourage someone. Stand on this promise and let it be an encouragement. Don't stand on fear. Don't stand on despair. Don't stand where there's no hope. In the face of death, stand on Jesus' resurrection. Stand on the promise that He has given to us. Paul says, encourage one another. If you raised your hand, if you have a face that came to mind, someone who you need to encourage, I invite you to heed Paul's words to encourage one another. Encourage one another. With these words, would you pray with me? Father in heaven, I come before you now, having been reminded of two things. First, how fragile we are. Just how fragile we are. We don't know the day or the time of when it will be our turn to die. But we're also reminded this morning that whenever that time comes, we do not have to be afraid. We do not have to fear. That's because you give us a promise. You give us the promise of eternal life. You give us the promise that nothing can separate us from you. A promise that's not based on just some idea or dream out there, but it's based in the reality of your death and resurrection. So if there's anyone here this morning who is afraid, who is fearful, who is in despair, it's my prayer this morning that you would speak to their heart right now and that you will remind them of this truth. Lord, help us to heed your word to us to encourage one another. To encourage one another with these words, with the hope that is ours in you and in you alone. Dear Lord, as we sing these next couple songs, continue to speak to us about your truth, the truth of who you are and what you have done for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.